return on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. We're halfway through the show already, Dave.
Where did the time go?
Yeah, and this segment is brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. Now, Dave, we want to go over the year of 2016 right now, and we're going to start with the Winnipeg Jets, and then we're going to move to the Manitoba Moose. And when you look at this year as a whole, and, you know, this time of year on TSN TV, and we start to, you know, go over the top stories and reflect and look forward, not
yep.
just the reflection.
Yep.
You got to look forward.
Got to have the looking forward as well as the reflection.
Because yeah, less than 24 hours, it's going to be 2017.
In some places, it already is 2017.
That's true. In
Tonga.
Yeah. Tonga.
I did go to school for geography, so yeah.
That's a bit of an obscure country to reference there, but Happy New Year to Tonga. Do we have any listeners in Tonga?
We most likely have at least one.
Yeah, I would expect there to be like one like Canadian expat living in Tonga.
Sitting on a beach, sipping a pina colada.
Yeah, listening to a little Icy. When you look at 2016 for the Jets, Dave, and it was obviously a difficult end to the regular season with the Jets missing the playoffs and those late wins, and that kind of set the Jets back a little bit, it looked like, as far as the draft lottery was going to go. But can we almost start the year in review of 2016 with April 30th and the Jets winning the draft lottery and getting that second overall pick?
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I would probably add is the Andrew Ladd trade. You know, I mean, that was fairly significant. You know, there was a big, you know, second biggest trade, I guess, after the Evander Kane, Zach Bogosian trade for the Jets, Jets 2.0. And, you know, I mean, that was fairly significant. You're trading away your captain. You know, you're making the decision to go with Byfuglien over Ladd. Again, something, as we've touched on earlier, fans are definitely happy that the management did that. But after that, as I think there's no doubt in my mind, I think that the exuberance that Jets fans, you know, everyone in Manitoba and folks who follow this team from around the world felt, because they knew that when the Jets went from 6 to 2, that it was franchise altering. I mean, just think, fast forward to December 30th, 2016, where would this team be without Patrick Laine in the lineup?
Yeah.
He's 19, almost 20 goals if he hits that empty net. Like, think about that. Where is this team without Patrick Laine and all those goals? Because most likely, well, I can't remember who was taking 6 overall. It was Finnish defenseman. What's his name?
Ulevi. Ulevi. Has been playing for Finland at the World Juniors.
Right. So, I mean, think about
it. Finland was knocked out.
And I'm not saying the Jets wouldn't have been happy having him, but the reality is that's more, you know, first of all, that puts a lot of pressure on Kyle Connor, who's currently with the Moose, right? So I don't think there's any question that was a franchise-altering moment for Jets fans and the organization. And I think that was probably the biggest moment of 2016 when that ball fell in Winnipeg's favor and gave them essentially Patrick Laine. At the time, it wasn't necessarily Patrick Laine.
Dave, it was actually Matthew Tkachuk who was drafted 6th overall by the Calgary Flames. Ulevi went 5th. To the Vancouver Canucks. But needless to say,
Tkachuk wouldn't be a bad thing since he's been so good for Calgary this season. But the reality is that Laine is Laine, right? And again, he will be a dominant player in the NHL for his career.
Dave, going back to that Andrew Ladd trade, I just want to go back to that trade for a second, and then we'll continue to look back at 2016. When you look at the return that the Jets got, and we're, you know, what, 10 months later after that trade, it happened in February of 2016. Did the Jets get a good enough return for Andrew Ladd? It was Andrew Ladd and Jay Harrison that went to Chicago.
And Matt Fraser. Yeah.
Ladd, Harrison, and Fraser to Chicago, and the Jets' return of Marco Dano and a first-rounder, which eventually became Logan Stanley through the trade with the Flyers. Was that a good enough return for Ladd?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality was they knew that they weren't keeping Andrew Ladd, and most teams aren't going to overpay for someone, you know, essentially was seen as, for an upper echelon team, like, for example, like a Chicago, who obviously they made the trade with, doesn't have a tremendous amount of room and says, okay, well, we're not keeping this guy most likely after the end of the season, so this is a true rental. And look, we saw as part of the deal, if you remember, as was also a conditional third-round pick in 2018 if Chicago won the Stanley Cup last year, which obviously they didn't. So, you know, they're not the Jets didn't – they don't have to fork that over. But the fact is that you're sitting there going, well, wait a second. You've got this asset that you're no longer going to be able to use. You have to get rid of it for something. And, I think Marco Dano was good, and I think – you don't know what the first rounder is going to be. Now, you didn't know at the time it was going to be Logan Stanley, and there's fans who absolutely hate the Logan Stanley pick, and there's some who like it, and the management obviously enjoy it because they made it.
Well, it's going to be 2 or 3 years before we even see Logan Stanley in the NHL, at least. I mean, he's still playing in the Ontario Hockey League for the Windsor Spitfire, so it's way too early.
Right.
To start saying whether or not that's a good pick or not.
I'm simply saying that there's a segment of the fan base that doesn't like that selection. But I'm simply saying that as of right now, you can't know because you haven't seen whether he's going to play in the NHL or not. So I think like getting a first round pick and Marco Dano, who was a first round pick, is of course of Columbus. It was a good haul for a player who you knew wasn't coming back into the organization. And again, your hands are tied because you're sending him to a team that most likely doesn't have the room likely to keep him. So you know that it's going to be not a huge return. So I'm fine with the trade. I thought it was a good trade for the Jets.
Now, Dave, moving on, you know, to the rest of 2016, you can almost divide the year 2016 into pre-Jets drafting Patrick Laine and post drafting Patrick Laine. We were there in Buffalo at the draft in June. The Jets made the pick of Patrick Laine to no one's surprise. At the time, there were some people that thought the Jets might draft Jesse Puljujarvi,
right,
but he didn't even go third overall to the Columbus Blue Jackets. They took Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's playing for Canada at the World Juniors in Toronto and Montreal right now. When you look at this Winnipeg Jets organization, looking big picture, mm-hmm, now that the Jets have this generational talent in Patrick Laine, who, like you said, 38 games into the season already has 19 goals. He could easily have 20-plus goals already this year. When you look at this team's outlook, with that disappointing finish to the season, Andrew Ladd getting traded, the Jets having a real difficult time on the ice last year, how much really, Dave, can we say that Patrick Laine changed the outlook of this organization?
Oh, it's well, I shouldn't say it's immeasurable because clearly it is measurable, but I think that what he brings to this, I mean, there's very few players like that. And again, I go back to the draft in, it wasn't Florida, maybe it was Philly, whatever, Philly or New Jersey. I don't remember which one, but I was on the bus and I was listening to the scouts, you know, because when you go on the buses to and from like the hotels or from to the arena, you're mixed and matched. So it's like you've got team executives, you've got media, and you've got, you know, scouting staffs, you got everybody on the bus. And so you sit there and you're listening and, you know, and people are talking and they're not generally talking specifics, but even the generalities are telling, and you hear them talk about players, and you talk about, I mean, and again, I remember sitting there thinking it was the McDavid and Eichel. It was the one year before that, so that was, they were drafted in 2000.
Florida,
right?
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and these guys are talking about how they're already looking ahead to the next year's draft when they're going to be able to take these A-plus type players, and we know that Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine are A-plus type players, and when scouts have these, when they see these guys, and they determine that these players are going to be of that caliber, of that level, it's a game changer. I mean, it's a franchise changer. And so, you know, look, a lot of people will say, what did the Jets do? Well, they like they got lucky. Fine. You know, you got lucky. You lucked into a player who is going to take your trajectory from kind of like a easy, nice, easy, you know, curve to an extreme one, because that's how good Patrick Laine is, and he's only going to get better. So, again, like I said, I think it's monumental, and I think that from an on-ice perspective was probably the biggest thing to happen to the Jets in 2016.
Yeah, and with the season starting off, you know, a little bit difficult for the Jets, you know, with the tough November schedule and the five-game losing streak. The Jets have certainly had some troubles this regular season, but when you look at the year 2016 as a whole, and that's what we're doing, right, it started out pretty badly for the Jets. The Jets were essentially out of the playoffs in February, right before they traded Andrew Ladd to the Chicago Blackhawks. But when they won that draft lottery in April and then drafted Patrick Laine in late June in Buffalo, the fortunes of this team really turned around. It's not to say that the Jets didn't have some promising prospects, because we haven't even touched on Kyle Connor and his miraculous season for the University of Michigan. He was runner-up to Jimmy Vesey for the Hobey Baker Award. So, I mean, the Jets had some prospects in the pipeline, but certainly, like you said, Dave, Patrick Laine, a guy who at 18 years old is already one of the top goal scorers in the NHL, it really changed their fortune. So it really kind of shows you that, you know, if you want to call it the circle of life, you know, losing your captain of the last 5 years, but then getting Patrick Laine, a guy who just has such high-end skill. And, you know, I think the year 2016 is actually, you know, ended pretty well for the Jets. It'll end even better if they're able to pick up a win tonight against the New York Islanders. But certainly, you know, this organization, there's no doubt that the Jets are trending in the right direction.
Yeah, and the other thing we should probably touch on, because it was probably the other most significant thing of 2016, was the Heritage Classic and what it meant to the city of Winnipeg and the return of the hockey history.
Well, why don't we're going to go to break right now, because we've got Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press coming up. We're going to talk Jets and Manitoba Moose. Mike covers the Moose for the Winnipeg Free Press. So why don't we leave that for now, Dave? We'll come back after Mike McIntyre's interview at 11. We'll talk more about the Heritage Classic and more about the Jets' year in review. Let's go to break now, and when we come back, Mike McIntyre of the Free Press is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 12.
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290 Radio. I'm Ezra Ginsberg, joined by Dave Manuk. In case you haven't been listening, Drew Mandel is off this week. It's the last show of 2016. Let's head to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We are pleased to be welcomed on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline by Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. Mike, how's it going?
Gentlemen, very good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. We're doing very good. It's a rare two-man Illegal Curve Hockey Show operation right now, but, you know, Drew's, you know, enjoying his holidays. You know, for his own sanity, he's decided to take an extended vacation, so we're having a good time this morning.
So this is the equivalent of being, what, like two men shorthanded, like a five-on-three?
Yeah, I would say so, or even a six-on-four.
Just remember to get in those shot lanes, block those shots.
Absolutely. I'm not afraid to get in the shooting lanes and, you know, take some bruises. Mike, we want to talk mainly about the Manitoba Moose with you today, and we're going to touch a little bit on the Jets as well. They play the New York Islanders tonight at MTS Center. Puck drop is 6 o'clock p.m. Manitoba Moose played last night. Unfortunately, they lost to the Charlotte Checkers. Looking back on the year 2016 for the Manitoba Moose, and I realize you just started covering the Manitoba Moose this year for the Free Press, but when you look at this Moose team and how they struggled mightily last year, and you look at some of the youth they've got this year with guys like Kyle Connor and Jack Roslovic, how much has the Manitoba Moose and I guess in their outlook changed with you know, some of these guys that they've been able to get from the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, it's been night and day, I think, comparing last season to this season. They're scuffling a little bit right now. They've actually only won one of their last eight games. They've had three overtime and shootout losses mixed in there. But 1-4-3 in their last eight. But in the big picture, they're still a 500 team at 12-12-5. And it's remarkable. They didn't get their 12th win last season until early February. They got their 12th win this year in mid-December. I think this year's team is what they envisioned when they brought the Moose back to Winnipeg. It's the product, of course, of some drafting, and now comes the developing part. But you know, last year wasn't a very good year. It certainly wasn't the return that they hoped for the Moose. Even a few of the veteran guys they signed that were supposed to provide some depth, they didn't pan out, and it was just a lousy reintroduction for the Moose to Winnipeg overall. This year, I think especially now, you're seeing with the Jets being relatively healthy, the Moose are relatively healthy, there's that depth that that all NHL teams strive for. You know, you look last night at what they rolled out in terms of their lines, Ezzie, and all four lines had, you know, top prospects on them, guys that potentially could crack an NHL roster one day. And I think that's what you hope for with your AHL team. And they finally, now, maybe for the first time since coming back to Winnipeg, have the depth to back it up.
Mike, you wrote about a defenseman that is not a household name in Kevin Churchman. What were you surprised by when you had a chance to chat with him?
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He went undrafted, so all 30 NHL teams passed over him. He's now 25 years of age, which is interesting because, you know, you look at defensemen and you often hear that you can't really judge what you have in a defenseman until guys hit their mid-20s, sometimes even their late 20s. They often take a little longer to bloom, and I wonder if Kevin Churchman is going to be the next in that line of so-called late bloomers, because he's really emerged this year as, in my opinion, he's been the most reliable Moose defenseman, and this is on a team that has a few guys with some experience. You know, you've got Brian Strait, you've got Brendan Kitchen, who's been around now a number of years, Julian Melchiori, who of course often gets the first call up to the Jets if they have an injury on their blue line. And yet there's Kevin Churchman leading all Moose defensemen in scoring. He's actually tied for third overall on the team. And he's an assistant captain, which tells you all, you know, a lot about how they view his leadership qualities. And doing all of this at the age of 25, he sort of chuckled, saying that the last 3 years when he's been playing in the New York Islanders organization, mostly in Bridgeport, that he's always been one of the youngest guys on the team. Well, now he's one of the oldest guys on the team. But he said he's really enjoying taking on this new role, a leadership role, mentor, being a veteran, if you will, at 25. And he's an interesting guy to watch. I mean, I'm not saying that you know, he's going to keep progressing and we're going to find him a full-time role in the NHL one day, but he is a guy that seems to just be getting better with age.
We're joined by Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline. Mike covers the Winnipeg Jets and the Manitoba Moose for the Winnipeg Free Press. Mike, I wanted to ask you about Brendan Lemieux. He's struggling a little bit offensively, and he got into five games for the Moose at the end of last season after being called up from the Ontario Hockey League. When you look at Brendan Lemieux, and I actually thought Brendan Lemieux might get some time with the Winnipeg Jets, but what have you thought of his game, and how do you think he projects going forward for the Winnipeg Jets?
Yeah, I mean, Brendan Lemieux, there's no doubt he could play the agitator, bring the physical element that teams, you know, often like to employ in their bottom six forwards. And I think he's got that. I mean, you could throw him into an NHL lineup right now, and he could certainly play the role of the agitator. What I think he absolutely needs to work on, and I think at this point it's still a bit of a mystery as to where he maybe tops out, is on the offensive side, because as you say, he is struggling. He's struggling to score. He's struggling to produce. And you know, I think given his numbers as junior, the hope was that he could keep progressing offensively at this level, at the pro level, and maybe translate that into an NHL level. I heard a lot of people when the Jets first drafted him saying, you know, he could be the Andrew Shaw of the Winnipeg Jets. Well, you look at Andrew Shaw, I mean, he can score, and he contributes. And I think especially what you're seeing in the NHL nowadays, teams want to roll four lines, but they want all four of those lines to be able to produce. And so, you know, Brendan Lemieux, he gets power play time. He often is positioned in front of the net. You see him at practice, and one of the things he works on more than anybody is his shot tips. He'll stand in front of the net and take all kinds of extra reps with tipping shots. He said that's kind of his bread and butter in junior, and he's hoping to translate it to the pro game. We just haven't seen the numbers, though, and I do wonder, you know, if he's just hitting a bit of a bump. He is still very early in the development phase, but I know a lot of Jets fans were thinking that maybe they'd see him, you know, crack this year's opening day roster. He actually got hurt in the Young Stars tournament, and I wonder how much that has sort of held him back a bit this year, and if he's just going to take time. I think he's a project that's not going to be something that we see develop very quickly, but maybe over the course of a few years.
Mike, one player we saw score last night and had a chance for a second goal was Kyle Connor. He looks like his development is continuing. He's probably in the right spot for where he needs to be to develop his game long-term for the Winnipeg Jets. What have you thought about Kyle Connor since he was sent down to the Moose?
Well, you see his speed on display and his puck smarts, absolutely. And I think at the AHL, and having watched him quite a bit with the NHL, with the Jets this year, and now with the Moose, he's got a little more time, often got a little more space to make those decisions at the AHL level. It's just the product of, you know, you're not playing against the best of the best every single shift. So I think it's good for him because, you know, he may not admit it, but you got to think that his confidence took a major hit. You know, you look at how he started off in preseason. He scored, in three straight games, and I don't want to say that he started thinking this is going to be easy, but when you're a guy who's had nothing but success at every level of hockey, you come in, you play three NHL preseason games, you score in all of them, he's probably thinking, well, this is going to go well. And then, of course, the games start counting for real. The checking gets a lot tighter, the matchups get tougher, and he finds himself playing less and less and less each game and ultimately not even in the lineup and in the press box. I don't care who you are. You're a young player. That's got to affect your confidence. And I think that's a big part of why the Moose sent him down. I mean, they want him to be a confident player because when he's a confident player, he can be a real special player. He's going to get that confidence with the Moose. I think this is a perfect solution. The only thing I think that was done wrong here is maybe they waited too long to send him down. But yeah, give him the rest of this season with the Moose. Maybe even he starts here next season. But I think there's a real good player in there that's going to make some noise at the NHL level eventually.
We're joined by Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press on TSN 1290. Mike, I wanted to ask you about Eric Comrie and his play this season. A little bit different situation for him than last year with Connor Hellebuck still playing with the Manitoba Moose. And this year you have Andre Pavlik backing Eric Comrie up. He's played 18 of the 30 games. What would your assessment be of Eric Comrie and how he's handled having a veteran like Andre Pavlik backing him up?
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing in talking to Comrie and Pavlik. They seem to have a really special relationship. They get along well. You know, if anybody thought Andre Pavlik was going to come down to the Moose and be a disruptive force, I would suggest they're wrong. I mean, let's face it, he's making a lot of money on his one-way contract to play, and I'm sure he's not happy being in the situation he is. But by all accounts, he's been a perfect teammate, a good mentor to Eric Comrie. I do find it interesting what they're doing with their goaltenders. The first dozen games of this season, Comrie and Pavlik were just rotating starts. And a lot of that was because of the schedule. They were often playing back-to-back, so you'd give one goalie one game and then ride the other guy the next night. But after a dozen games, Pascal Vincent clearly tabbed Eric Comrie as his number one goalie. And it wasn't just because Eric Comrie is the young prospect versus the veteran on an expiring contract. It's because Eric Comrie was the much better goaltender. His numbers were absolutely blowing away Andre Pavlik's. They've tightened up a little bit now in terms of that disparity. Comrie's had a couple of rough outings over the last month. I mean, how much of that is on him? How much of that is a product of his team struggling overall? The Moose had a number of call-ups, as we all know, with the Jets. They had some injuries as well. So they hit a bit of a rough skid, and Eric Comrie's game hit a bit of a rough skid. Andre Pavlik put together a few really solid starts and seemed to have perhaps, you know, at least staked a bit of a claim to getting some more playing time. But Eric Comrie's now played three games in a row, and I think we're now back to a situation where the Moose are going to ride him. He is a goalie that I know they have big plans for. I think he's been overall, when you look at his body of work last season on a really bad Moose team and this season on a much improved Moose team, his work has been very impressive, and he's a goalie that I think absolutely projects to be a solid NHL player probably sooner rather than later.
Mike, we're in the midst of the World Junior Tournament right now. Jack Roslovic, the Moose leading scorer, is playing for Team USA against Team Canada. The big game at 3:30 or 2:30 today. And, you know, everybody's pumped up for that as well. There's a lot of Moose players in addition to the Moose assistant coach who are pumped up. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I was surprised when sort of crunched the numbers to see just how many Moose players have actually played in the World Juniors. Jack Roslovic, when he comes back to the Moose, he will give this year's Moose roster 10 active players who've all had World Junior experience. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty much half the roster that's played in the World Juniors. I spoke to a few of the players the other day. They're all watching, of course, very closely. A lot of them are keeping in touch with Roslovic, texting him between games, and it's creating some funny discussions in the locker room, because you've got some of his Canadian teammates who have played for Team Canada, and naturally that's where their loyalties lie, but at the same time they really like Roslovic. So they sort of express that they want him to do well, but maybe not too well, but they're all going to be watching that game later today. You also have the Moose assistant coach in Eric Dubois, whose son, Pierre-Luc, is playing on Team Canada. Eric Dubois actually was out in Toronto. He watched the first two Team Canada games. He told me the other day he's actually got a ticket to the gold medal game that he's hoping he can use if Team Canada gets there. The Moose schedule is going to allow for him to sneak out to Toronto to see his boy play in the gold medal game in person, which would be pretty special. So he's sort of balancing his role right now as an assistant coach with the Moose, but also as a proud hockey parent.
Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show this morning. We wish you, on behalf of Dave, Drew, and myself, Happy New Year. Enjoy the Jets game tonight against the Islanders.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Sorry, I sound a little bit husky today. Got a bit of a cold, so hopefully we'll leave that behind in 2016. And best of the new year to you and yours and all your listeners.
Mike, right. It must have been because it was that arena was so cold last night.
It was so cold. I think you got me sick, Dave.
Possible.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks so much, Mike. Happy New Year. Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 12.
You're on the curve on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Big thanks to Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press. Mike's a great guy. I met Mike when I was taking journalism at Red River College. We were studying one of Mike's crime books.
Yeah, don't get into a crime in this town. He'll track you down.
No, he will track you down. Had Mike a good chance to meet Mike, and you know, he showed our class around the Manitoba law courts and, you know, how to properly find, you know, the proper cases and stories to write about. So Mike was very helpful to me.
He's a great
when
guy.
I was a
really
student
nice
at
guy.
Red River College, and awesome guy. And he does a great job covering the Jets and the Manitoba Moose for
Winnipeg.
He
almost had a torts post-game encounter.
That's right, I saw that.
I was going to ask about him during our interview with him just now, because he should have come from you, considering your own torts history. But he was videotaping when torts said, I think the It was the Columbus video guy was recording, and Tortorella kind of cocked his head, similar to what he did to you, actually. And I thought, oh, he's going to lose it. And I'm like, and he goes, what is it? What are you doing? Like, he was actually being playful. It wasn't like a negative thing, but it was just, it was funny that Mike happened to get into the scrum and have a bit of a Torts encounter.
You know, Dave, Torts has absolutely nothing to be upset about right now. With the Columbus Blue Jackets winning 14 games in a row, Torts should be the happiest guy in the world, shouldn't he?
He should be absolutely the happiest guy in the world. I mean, it's interesting, though, because it just goes to show you that he won't rest on his laurels, though, simply because they beat Boston the game before, and he wasn't happy. After the game, he said to the reporters, he goes, I've already burned the tape, meaning I don't want to talk about it. The game is over.
That's a great comment.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it just goes to show you, like, he's not satisfied. They'd blown a lead. So there you go. But let's talk about Jets.
We're going to continue our 2016 year in review of the Winnipeg Jets and the Manitoba Moose. And before we had Mike McIntyre on, we were talking about the Heritage Classic, which took place in late October in Winnipeg, Dave. And we want to look at 2017 as well, look ahead to 2017. But looking back at that Heritage Classic, which had the alumni game and then the regular season game between the Jets and the Oilers, which obviously didn't go the Jets' way with the Oilers winning 3-0. But when you look back at the year, and we talked about the Andrew Ladd trade, which took place in February and brought Marco Dano and a first-round pick to the Winnipeg Jets, and we talked about the Jets winning the draft lottery and getting that second overall pick and then drafting Patrick Laine. But when you look at the second half of this season, is it safe to say that Heritage Classic was the highlight of the first 3 months of the regular season in Winnipeg to end 2016?
If you're asking for my opinion, then I would say yes. I think that from my perspective, there was no question in my mind that the Heritage Classic game, I mean, obviously the game was a bit of a dud, but, you know, the fans weren't happy with the, you know, being shut out and losing to the Oilers 3-0. But the fact is that the atmosphere, the buzz around Winnipeg, it was, first of all, they got a phenomenal weekend. I mean, the weather was like balmy. It was unbelievable. I mean, obviously, and that continued on. So, you know, we've had nothing to complain about weather-wise here in Winnipeg. But, you know, it everything about that weekend went off well. The alumni came in and fully embraced it. There was no negativity. Again, aside from the end result, which is obviously from a team perspective the most important thing. But sometimes can be lessened a little bit simply by virtue of what that game did for the city. And again, Winnipeg embraces things, and that's what we do. And I think, to be honest with you, ever since the Jets 1.0 left, that it's forced people in Winnipeg to be less complacent and embrace events that are happening. And whether that was like the Pan Am Games in 99 or the Grey Cups, the various Grey Cups, or anything like curling events, I feel like we were always... we took it for granted. We just expected that we got these things. And then when you have something torn away, and then you're giving it back, you appreciate it more. And again, that doesn't come with like slavish devotion. It doesn't mean that, you know, everything that is done is good, but I just mean from the perspective of folks appreciate it more. And I think that just kind of reunification of the old history of the Jets 1.0. And look, if you're not from this city, you don't get it. And people all the time say, oh, I don't get it, it doesn't matter. They don't understand. You're not, with all due respect, if you're not from Winnipeg, then you're not going to get it. And I don't really care if you don't get it. Like, I don't really need to appeal to some guy who lives in New York or Toronto or Columbus or L.A. and prove that there's a connection between the Jets 1.0 history and these Jets. Because it's not the team itself. I understand there's not a linear line that you can draw from one to the other because it goes to Phoenix, not Atlanta. Everybody is aware of that. They get that logically. But sports isn't necessarily always about logic. Sometimes it's about emotion and your connection. And that is what the Heritage Classic and the alumni game, because people are making snide comments like, oh, why don't they have Ilya Kovalchuk? Or why don't they have, like, you know, various players from Atlanta? And it's like, you don't get it.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, of course. And that's people just
Ilya Kovalchuk never played in Winnipeg.
Right. But the whole point is that, you know, oh, they're like, well, he was Atlanta and that's history. No, anyway, it doesn't matter.
No.
Again, you don't get it if you're not from the city.
Right.
And to be honest with you, who cares? If you don't get it, that's I don't really care if you don't understand.
I agree with you 100%, Dave. I think the 2016 Heritage Classic was a resounding success. The weather was beautiful, even though there was a bit of a delay due to the sun causing a bit of problems on the ice surface. The fact that the Jets didn't win the regular season game on Sunday against the Oilers, I don't think mattered. The alumni game was unbelievable to see Gretzky and Curry and Solani and Howerchuk and all those superstars from the 1980s and 90s all out there at the same time was unbelievable. It was very well attended. I think the Jets and the NHL deserve a lot of credit for, you know, putting on a great show. So I think it was absolutely the highlight of 2016 for me. Quickly, Dave, we have a couple minutes here before we have to go to break, and then we're going to have Mark Masters of TSN on at 11:30. We're going to talk about the World Junior Tournament taking place in Toronto and Montreal. Huge game between Canada and USA this afternoon, which is going to determine who wins the group. Both Canada and the U.S. have made the quarterfinals, but both teams are undefeated right now. And Canada has just been simply dominant thus far. But quickly looking at the Manitoba Moose, Dave, yep, and the year of 2016, the 2015-16 was obviously a big disappointment for the Manitoba Moose. Pascal Vincent took over for Keith McCambridge this year. Looking back at 2016, what were some of the highlights for you for the Manitoba Moose?
Well, I would say from a perspective of the team, you know, graduating players into the NHL. And I mean, ultimately, that's what this is. You're supposed to do from your AHL organization. And while everybody wants to support winning hockey and watch winning hockey, and Pascal Vincent, to his credit, has said that all along. He essentially said, "We're a pipeline. We're here to develop these players so they're NHL players for the Winnipeg Jets organization." So, I mean, we saw how many, I don't remember the exact number, but I think like six or seven players ended up making their NHL debuts last season with, you know, obviously as a result of all the injuries that the team sustained. And they were able to get these players into the NHL. And the truth is a lot of these guys have been able to kind of get in and play fairly well for the Jets when called upon. So, you know, whether it was Julian Melchiori playing defense or, you know, guys like Chase DeLeo coming in and stepping in. You've had players who have shown that they can make that jump from the AHL to the NHL. And again, whether it's conditioning stints for Adam Lowry or Andrew Kopp, you know, and again, the truth is, and to the credit of the players, they haven't gone down to the lower level and sulked. And I talked about it with Andrew Kopp and Brandon Tanev on Thursday when both were sent down on Wednesday, and both players, neither one was happy. And again, there's nothing wrong with not being happy. You want to play in the NHL. That's your goal as a player. Your goal isn't to play in the AHL, especially as a young player. Your goal is to play in the NHL. So there's nothing wrong with not being happy about it. But both players said that we're not here to sulk. That's how you end your career. We're here to get better. And I think they appreciate that Vincent's goal is to get them back into the NHL.
I think you nailed it, Dave. I think the depth for the Manitoba Moose organization, is much better this year. And even though they've struggled a little bit as of late, I think they're still in contention for a playoff spot. So certainly, you know, Pascal Vincent deserves a lot of credit, and the Winnipeg Jets organization deserves a lot of credit for supplying the Moose with a lot of great young prospects, as you just touched on, Jack Roslovic and Kyle Connor. Let's head to break. We should mention that Arthur Staple just tweeted out moments ago that Yaroslav Halak has cleared waivers, so he's going to go down to the American Hockey League. We don't know who's going to start in net for the Islanders tonight. Also, Mark Masters of TSN is coming up at 11:30. He just tweeted out that Connor Ingram is going to start in net tonight for Canada versus the USA. They've been going with a goalie split, Connor Ingram and Carter Hart sharing the starts. So let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the 2016 World Junior Tournament and then be joined by Mark Masters at 11:30. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 12.
Ezra, Dave, and Drew return on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca. Yeah!
Switzerland onto the quarters, knocking out Finland in the process. Finland has fired its entire coaching staff, its head coach and three assistants.
Dominic Diem works in, Sanderson score! Nico Hischier, the 17-year-old. Paul Sanderson, Hischier in, shoot, scores! There's Hischier again.
Maybe those scouts aren't so off.
Long shot, tipped there by Reddish, scores! His fourth goal of the game.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. It's been a pretty crazy World Junior Tournament so far, Dave. Unbelievably, Finland has been knocked out of the tournament.
First time in history.
After winning last year's tournament in Helsinki. So obviously they're missing Patrick Laine and Sebastian Aho and Jesse Puljujärvi. Unbelievable. And now Finland is going to have to play to get into next year's World Junior Tournament. Unbelievable.
But as they're going to have to play with a whole new coaching staff because they fired their coaching staff, which is insane.
It is absolutely incredible right now that just 1 year after dominating the World Junior Tournament, Team Finland has been knocked out by Switzerland. We're going to be joined by Mark Masters of TSN at 11:30. We're going to continue to preview today's game between Canada and the U.S. An unbelievable game, Dave, a game that's going to determine first place in Group A. Canada has been simply dominant in this tournament thus far. They started off the tournament with a 5-3 win over Russia, and they absolutely routed, Latvia 9-2 in their game Thursday night. First off, let's start off with Team Finland. I mean, we were talking about this on the last time we were on air previewing the World Junior Tournament. We said that, you know, it was really going to be between Canada, U.S., Russia, and Finland for the gold medal. But what do you make of Finland getting knocked out of the tournament and then firing their entire coaching staff?
Well, I mean, it's clearly wasn't expected. And again, like I said earlier in this segment, it's never happened in the history where you've gone from winning the tournament to being in the relegation round. So that's a shocking development from a Finnish perspective. But at the same time, when you look at the list of players that, as you just listed off as, that are not here for this team, I mean, that's a laundry list of guys who are dominant. It could be, you know, dominant players and would have Finland playing for the gold medal. So, you know, I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, they obviously didn't play a phenomenal tournament. But again, when you're missing that many players, it is a reasonable excuse to say, okay, well, you know, we're losing, you know, Patrick Laine. Well, there you go. That alone is sufficient. And then again, 3-4 other guys. I just don't know how you can compete against a Canada, a Russia, you know, the American teams that do have the players that, and again, those teams also obviously have players that are eligible that are playing in the NHL. But they have more depth to draw from. And that's, I think, where you see Finland lacking.
Dave, Team Finland scored 4 goals in 3 games.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. 4 goals. They are knocked out of the tournament. They have been relegated. And now we're going to see Switzerland in the quarterfinals. And you know, great for a country that usually isn't expected to be a medal contender. And certainly they have their work cut out for them in the quarterfinals. But let's switch to Canada-U.S., and we're going to be joined in about 5 minutes by Mark Masters of TSN, who's covering the 2016 World Juniors in Toronto. When you look at Team Canada, and they were coming off of that disappointing loss to Finland in the quarterfinals last year, they finished 6th in last year's tournament. Canada has outscored their opponents 20-5 in 3 games. We mentioned they've beaten Russia already. They've defeated Slovakia and Latvia, and they have the U.S. today. Puck drop is 2 o'clock Central, and that game will be available on TSN TV, all across the TSN network. They've been led by former Arizona Coyote, Arizona Coyotes first-round draft pick Dylan Strome, and Taylor Radish, a guy who wasn't on the team last year. He scored 4 goals against Latvia, truly impressive performance. They announced that Connor Ingram is going to get the start versus Team USA. How much, Dave, do you think that Canada is using last year's finish against Finland? Because Canada is always expected to medal at the World Junior Tournament, and only gold is really accepted for this team. You have Canada playing the U.S. We mentioned you've got Jack Roslovic and Eric Foley, 2 Winnipeg Jets draft picks. How much does this game mean to win the group? We already know that both teams are going to the quarterfinals, Dave, but how important is it, do you think, for Team Canada to win this game and get the higher seeding for the quarterfinals?
I think it's more just a function of the fact that you just always want to beat – Canada always wants to beat the U.S. And vice versa. Both these teams always want to beat each other in international play. It's just – it goes – it's, you know, it's a tale as old as time. And especially since, you know, 2004, when the U.S. really kind of turned it around, their program around, and kind of got themselves on the map in terms of the World Juniors and showed that they have the depth to kind of match up to Canada and defeat Canada. So ever since then, you really have had a really good rivalry. And again, ultimately, I think both these teams know that if you win today or lose today doesn't necessarily determine your fate at the end of the tournament. But both teams are obviously, you know, looking for that win. And you know, I think Coach Ducharme was asked about, you know, the Jets, the Team Canada, whether they've physically can handle or sustain the American pressure. And he talked about the speed, and he said, you know, it's hard to hit what you can't, like what's moving, basically. And essentially, he's saying that Canada isn't a small team. They're not a huge team, but they've got speed, and that's what they've been using for success this tournament. So it'll be a really good game. I think, you know, we always get, you know, jazzed up for it to watch that game between the Canadians and the Americans. So, yeah, I think it's going to be great. I think that you know, the Americans haven't scored as many goals as Team Canada this tournament, but, you know, they haven't shown that they can't score the goals. And again, we've seen Jack Roslovic and Eric Foley is also another good example of a young player for the Jets organization who's had some, you know, nice success at the collegiate level. So it'll be a great game to watch. There's no question about that.
And Dave, I don't think that there's anybody happier right now than Steve Yzerman, because we talked about Taylor Radish, who was only the fourth player in the history of the World Junior Tournament for Team Canada to score four goals in one game. He was a second-round pick, 58th overall by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Connor Ingram, who's going to start in goal for Team Canada against the U.S. this afternoon, was a third-round pick of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So certainly Stevie Yzerman and the Tampa Bay Lightning are very happy with the way that their young prospects have played thus far in Toronto. And I agree with you, Dave. I mean, this is a team that doesn't have the services of Connor McDavid. They don't have the services of many other good young players. Travis Konechny's another guy, Jacob Chychrun. The names go on and on as far as guys that they don't have, but I mean, Dylan Strome has been excellent. After starting the season with the Arizona Coyotes, he has played very well. He's got 7 points. We mentioned Radish. They've had many other players. Pierre-Luc Dubois hasn't necessarily put up the numbers that you'd expect, but he's also been very good playing on that top line for Team Canada. So I think today's afternoon game between Canada and the U.S. is going to be an excellent one. Anytime that Canada and the U.S. play at the World Junior Tournament, it's exciting, and they always play on New Year's Eve. And I remember going back to 1999 when Canada and the U.S. played in Winnipeg. It was a classic, and it surely won't disappoint. We're going to head to break now. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mark Masters of TSN. We're going to continue to talk about the 2016 World Junior Hockey Championship. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
On the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. Two more segments to go. I'm Ezra Ginsberg, joined by Dave Manuk. Drew Mandel off this week. Let's hit the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We are pleased to be joined by Mark Masters, who's covering the 2016 World Junior Hockey Championship in Toronto. Mark, happy new year, and how are you doing?
Yeah, happy new year. I'm doing well. I'm really excited to see tonight's Canada-US game. It should be an incredible show, and the building should be rocking. Really pumped for tonight.
Mark, you mentioned the Canada-US game, and that's obviously why we brought you on this morning. It's coming up in about 2.5 hours in Toronto. You tweeted out a couple of hours ago that Connor Ingram is going to start for Team Canada. Are you surprised that they're going with Connor Ingram, or not surprised that they've decided to go with a bit of a split here the first four games?
I'm not surprised. I get the sense that maybe they were thinking this might be what they ended up doing all along. Obviously, they wanted to see how things played out. They want to have options going into the medal round. So they know what they have in Carter Hart, and they saw, you know, some good things from Connor Ingram, but he only faced 6 shots against the Slovaks. So throw him in the fire against the Americans on New Year's Eve, see how he responds, and then you got a decision to make. If he stands on his head, shuts the door, you go back to him for the quarterfinal game. If he's, you know, just so-so. You got Carter Hart, who's feeling good after being 2-0-0 and bouncing back a little bit against the Latvians the other night. So it gives you options, and Ingram certainly seems like he deserves it. I mean, I was just looking at the numbers. Four straight games dating back to these scrimmages in the selection camp, he hasn't allowed a goal. So you want to reward that as well, and so he gets in between the pipes. What a great opportunity for the kid from Imperial Saskatchewan, population 349, to kind of do his province and his community proud here tonight.
Mark, I'm going to ask you this. What is the most shocking fact, the fact that the Finnish team for the first time ever are going to be in the relegation round, or the fact that they fired their entire coaching staff?
They're both just absurd. I mean, you would never have thought. It's never happened. So, I mean, it's never happened. Both of those things have never happened. The defending gold medalist has never been in the relegation round, and coaching staff hasn't been fired en masse midway through a tournament at the World Juniors. I mean, just everyone is shocked. I saw the new interim head coach saying he has no skates. He had to borrow skates to get on the ice with his team this morning. So they still got at least three games, possibly four games to go, and they get rid of their entire coaching staff. So the whole thing is such a mess over there, and I'm stunned. Like, I can't believe. I mean, we were told that they weren't going to be as good. Obviously, you lose your whole top line to the NHL, Laine, Puljujärvi, and Aho. It's going to be tough. I mean, every country this year seems to have lost some key players to the NHL, other than really Sweden, which maybe is a reason why the Swedes are considered the favorites right now for a lot of people. But it's crazy over there. And now they're life and death against Latvia, best 2 of 3 starting Monday in Montreal, to stay in the group, to stay in the top level of World Junior Hockey. So I can't pick between the two. It's both of them are just crazy.
Yeah, originally I was going to say which is the most unprecedented, but I believe they're both unprecedented. So I think either one would have qualified.
Yeah, I mean, again, we have just I've run into everybody I've talked to in the World Juniors beat here. No one has seen anything like this before.
Mark, we have to ask you about Taylor Radish. I was actually in Mexico watching the game between Canada and Latvia, and it seemed like every time I turned my head, Taylor Radish was scoring a goal. He's one of the only few players in World Juniors history that has scored 4 goals in a game. Many people didn't even think Taylor Radish was going to make this Canadian team. How big have his contributions been to Team Canada thus far?
Well, it's funny. He didn't score in the first game, and then he said he was disappointed about that. And I said, really disappointed? You go one game without a goal, you're disappointed? He said, my job on this team is to score. It's my role. You know, I'm leaving the OHL and scoring when I left for Team Canada. And you mentioned he's on the bubble. It's hard to believe he wasn't invited to the summer camp. The knock on him has always been, he's a big guy. Can he get up and down the ice at the elite level? Is his skating good enough? And, you know, with Dylan Strome, his line mate in Erie in the NHL with Arizona for a good chunk of the early OHL season, Radish has been incredible. He just has been leading that team and putting the puck in the net and, you know, generating his own offensive chances. And, you know, he earned his spot on this team. He proved that he could do it. Now, a lot of people were a bit surprised that he's not playing with Strome here. You know, he's on the Barzal line, but geez, he came through big time against Latvia, especially early on when, you know, they were struggling to get going. That's when a lot of his goals happened. I believe he had a natural hat trick there. I think it was the second, third, and fourth goals for Canada. So he kind of helped them get that daylight between when the Latvians were kind of hanging around. He's been excellent. He's been excellent for them in the end. It was such a good night. He even forgave his dad for not throwing his hat. Said, you know, he doesn't have much hair up there. So all around great times for Taylor Radish at this event right now.
And Mark, we should mention, you know, TSN showed the graphic a couple of nights ago, but there are only 4 players in the history of this tournament for Team Canada who have scored 4 goals: Braden Schenn, Simon Gagné, and Mario Lemieux back in 1983. So that's a pretty good company for Taylor Radish.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're in the same sentence as Mario Lemieux, I think that you're pretty happy. I mean, and he knew he had 4 or pretty early in the third period. They showed the graphic on the monitor, on Ray Ferraro's monitor, just between the benches. So Radish saw it. So his teammates were urging him to, you know, I mean, you have a chance. I mean, I know it's kind of, you don't want to rub it in on the Latvians, but you got a shot at history here. You could be the only Canadian to ever score 5 goals in a single World Juniors game. And he came close, kind of hit the outside of the post on a Barzal setup late in the game, and he almost had it. You know, a chance that, I mean, who knows how long that record's going to last. So it was a close call, and just what a magical night for Radish. He was saying after the game, like, who knows if I'll ever score 4 goals in a game again. So to do it kind of in his home province, you know, with his friends and family at the ACC packed house, It was a really special night.
We're joined by Mark Masters of TSN. He's covering the World Junior Hockey Tournament in Toronto.
Mark, the player here in Winnipeg, Nikolai Ehlers, is a big fan of what Team Denmark is doing, and it seems like Team Denmark is the darling of the tournament right now. What have the reaction been? Have they become the new kind of secondary favorites after Team Canada?
The darlings of Denmark do it again. 2 years ago, obviously, they were in Toronto, and during the group stage, they became kind of the fan favorites in that group because Canada was playing in Montreal. And they were really, that was when they got their first win and clinched a spot. They played Canada in the quarters, got blown out, but they got a really nice ovation from the fans. Coach Olaf Eller, father of Lars Eller, has just done a tremendous job with this program. They don't have a coach of the year or a coach of the tournament, but every year he seems to get them to overachieve. Last year they almost beat Russia in the quarterfinals. It went to overtime. It was shocking. They were minutes away from pulling off one of the greatest upsets in World Juniors history. So they're playing in Montreal. So I've been based in Toronto, but I suspect that obviously a lot of the fans there, the neutrals, are embracing this great underdog story. I mean, their celebrations alone have been worth the price of admission. Fromm's visor cleaner spraying into the air, regardless of whether it's falling on all their food in the middle of the room or not, has been, you know, one of the funnier, lighthearted moments, great moments of the tournament. So we'll see how things shape up today. They're currently second in the group. They might finish second in that group. Both the Czechs and the Swiss can pass them, but they might get a favorable home, kind of the home team in the knockout stage for the first time. So if you're a country like Latvia and you're seeing what Denmark's doing, they're kind of the role model for all the countries that are trying to make the leap from minnow to, you know, perennially in the World Juniors. And it really is a tremendous story.
Mark, what are your keys for this afternoon's game? You've been covering this team from training camp to now. Canada's undefeated after three games. So is the U.S. The U.S. hasn't scored as many goals as Team Canada, but they've only allowed five goals in three games, just like Canada has. And they're led by Clayton Keller, who's got three goals and 5 points in three games. For you, what's the key maybe matchup for Team Canada this afternoon against the U.S.?
Yeah, you know, I mean, both coaches have made the point that discipline is going to be big, which I think you kind of, you know, assume going in. It's going to be emotional. The crowd's going to be going nuts. These are a rivalry. It's a rivalry game. But the Canadians have power play has just been crazy. It's been like the Finnish power play last year, where Laine's one-timer was just clicking like crazy, and you didn't want to take a penalty. They were over 50%. Canada is 8-for-14, I believe. So 9 of their 20 goals have been on special teams because they had a shorthanded goal as well. So special teams could be the difference. So if you're the U.S., you don't want to take a penalty. Same thing for the Canadians. If the game's played at 5-on-5, these are pretty similar teams. I think they really are kind of mirror images in many ways. They both roll four lines. They both kind of had question marks on defense, whether or not the guys would be able to hold up when the play is in their own end. Both of them appear to be kind of starting the goalie who is seen as the second goalie, with Joseph Woll, the Leafs prospect, looking like he's going to get the start for the Americans, and Connor Ingram going for Canada. So I think it's a really close game. And when you look at two teams that are that close, it's usually will come down to like who does the little things, the details of the game, and really who makes good on their chances. It's very hard to see much of a difference between these two teams. And, you know, you look at the elite guys. I look at the Dylan Strome line for Canada. They've been, you know, Strome has been great on the power play. Pierre-Luc Dubois has been really good on the power play. But I don't think they've done much at 5-on-5, or at least they haven't scored a lot at 5-on-5. So I'm looking for that line to step up. And we're waiting to see if Mitchell Stevens will play. He's a game-time decision. He'll take the warm-up. He's got an ankle injury. If he can't go, Michael McLeod will probably stay in that right-wing position on that line. But that top, so-called top line for Canada hasn't generated much at even strength. So I look to them to step up tonight.
Mark, you just mentioned Pierre-Luc Dubois, and we've just got one final question for you here, and we appreciate you coming on this morning. Pierre-Luc Dubois didn't make Team Canada last year, and you mentioned he struggled a little bit in three games. He doesn't have a goal yet. He's picked up four helpers. But for him personally, is this the type of game that Canada needs him specifically to step up his game?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to him before the tournament, and I said, you know, it's usually a 19-year-old tournament. You're an 18-year-old, and honestly, it hasn't been going great for him in the Q in Cape Breton. He's been traded. Looks like he's going to be on Blainville, Boisbriand, when the Q restarts again. But he hasn't been great. He hasn't been dominant. He's a third overall pick. And I think for him, getting his mind around the fact that he was going to be returned to juniors and not even get a look in the NHL this year was kind of shocking to him. He thought he was going to be in the mix for the Calder Trophy this year. So he struggled a bit in the transition back to junior hockey. He doesn't play a lot of left wing. He's usually been a right winger when he's played junior hockey, and now he's playing center in the queue because the Jackets see him as a center and they want him to get reps there. So he's getting used to a new position, and he's admitted it has been a small adjustment, and he hasn't stood out, and he's a guy with, you know, a third overall pick you would think could be a dominant figure in this tournament. So he puts a lot of pressure on himself, and yeah, he's one of the guys that if you're Canada, you're looking at him to step up and maybe produce tonight. I haven't seen that kind of dynamic duo at 5-on-5 with him and Strome that I think a lot of people expected to see. So maybe tonight's the night that those two break out.
Mark Masters is covering the World Junior Hockey Championship in Toronto for TSN. Mark, thank you so much for coming on this morning. Happy New Year, and enjoy today's game between Canada and the U.S. It should be a classic.
Yeah, Happy New Year, guys. This Canada-U.S. New Year's Eve game is always one of my favorite assignments each year with good reason.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's head to break. We have one more segment, Dave.
Where did the time go?
The last segment.
The final one.
The last segment of 2016. And we're going to talk a little bit about the game today between the Minnesota Wild and Columbus Blue Jackets. Someone's going to lose.
Someone's streak has to end.
We're going to talk about that game, and we're also going to play a clip from Patrick Laine talking about the year that was for him. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. It's the two-man crew. Dave Inez, Drew. And it's the final segment of 2016.
Just get it right in that tweet as we speak.
It's pretty remarkable, you know, all the radio shows we've done, all the Jets games we've gone to. 2016, it's been a year of ups and downs, Dave, highs and lows.
Your engagement would be the high.
Very high.
Very high.
And, you know, there's no other person that I'd like to end 2016 with than you, Dave, and Rory, of course. And no
Drew. Sans Drew, yeah. I got my New Year's wish.
We're leaving on a high right now. Should mention that the final segment of 2016 is brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all of your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia, the official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. Visit them online at zappiagroup.com. So, Dave, we have been spending a lot of time today talking about the year that was 2016, looking back on the year for the Winnipeg Jets and the Manitoba Moose. Patrick Laine was obviously the big story of 2016. We're going to play a clip right now of Patrick Laine. He talks about the World Junior Hockey Championship last year, which Finland won in his home country. And then he talks about being drafted by the Winnipeg Jets and looking ahead to 2017. So let's play that clip right now of Patrick Laine.
I was watching the Denmark-Switzerland game last night. Yeah, it was a crazy game, and it was not good results for the Finnish team, and it's not a good situation, but like that happens, and just have to deal with it.
Hard to see that happen.
Yeah, obviously after last year's tournament, it's hard to see that. But we can't do nothing about it anymore, and just have to play well the end of the tournament, and just hope that they can beat Latvia.
How would you describe the year that you've had?
January 1st to December 31st. There's a lot of accomplishments in there. How would you describe it?
It was nice year. It was a lot of tournaments and a lot of great teams that I was part of, and just it was a crazy year, but it was a lot of success for me and my team. So it was hope that next year can be the same.
How could 2017, can it top at all what you had over the last 365 days?
I think I can be a better player than last year. And now, last year I didn't have the chance to win the Stanley Cup, and now I do. So that's our biggest goal for this next season and or next year, and just working hard every day so we can make that happen.
You know, love that response by Patrick Laine after Munsey asked him that question about 2017 and, you know, can it be a better year than 2016, Dave? And Patrick Laine says, I think I can be better. Well, if winning the World Junior Hockey Championships, Dave, and winning the MVP of the Finnish League playoffs, and then getting drafted second overall and absolutely tearing up the NHL in the first 3 months of the season, scoring 19 goals in the first half of the season, if you can do better than that, then I'm really excited to see what better is.
Fans better strap in, because it's going to be an exciting 2017 if Patrick Laine can take his game to another level. Because, I mean, and he can, clearly. I mean, Coach Marie says it all the time. You know, he's a player who's trying to get better, who's continuously working on his game and trying to improve in all aspects of his game, because there are areas that he needs to improve on. But, I mean, you know, from an entertainment standpoint, when you're watching that guy, I mean, even the game against Columbus, I mean, how many of those shots whiz past the net and just, I mean, beat Bobrovsky, but just were wide, you know, just missed here, just missed a little high, but, and he doesn't do that very often where he's just missing. So, I mean, he's an exciting player. And again, like I said, if he can get better, which he most likely can, it's only good to be good things for the Winnipeg Jets and fans.
I agree with you, Dave. And you forget that he's only 18 years old. And it's kind of hard sometimes when, you know, the amount of goals he's scored, and you think he's been a veteran in the league for 5 or 6 years. But I agree with you. And Patrick Laine, the sky really is the limit. It's going to be so exciting to see what he's going to do for this Winnipeg Jets team. Dave, we've looked back a lot here on 2016. I want to look forward here to end the show.
Sure.
And then we're going to touch a little bit on the Minnesota Wild versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Minnesota Wild have won 12 games in a row, and the Columbus Blue Jackets have won 14 games in a row. I want to get your pick before the show is over. Who's going to win this game? Because I know who I'm picking to win this game.
Yeah.
So when you're looking ahead to 2017, let's start with the Jets. We'll touch on the Moose after, but let's start with the Jets. Looking ahead to 2017, the Jets are 4 points out of the wild card spot right now. You know, they've struggled a little bit here to end 2016. But for you and the year 2017, what's the biggest storyline for you, you know, in the first, you know, let's call it the first 2 or 3 months of 2017 as it relates to the Jets?
I'm going to go with, well, I've got a couple. I mean, one for sure is Jacob Trouba and his continued kind of push towards it being a dominant defender in this league. I think that's, you know, really, really important. What happens with him? Do they, you know, get something worked out? Do they trade him? I mean, that's a major storyline moving forward with the Jets, no question about it. Health of Tyler Myers, how that's going to impact the, you know, the what happens with the expansion draft, what the Jets are going to do for the expansion draft. Obviously, that's a major factor with Las Vegas coming in and them having to decide how they're going to configure their roster and who they're going to protect. And then Patrick Laine, I mean, like, again, as we just touched on, what can't this kid do? I mean, you know, are we going to see him score 30, 40, possibly 50 goals in the NHL in 2017? I don't know. We'll find out soon enough. But yeah, there's a lot of, and I guess lastly, you asked for one thing, I think, but I'm giving you four, the goalies.
That's okay.
The goalies. I think, like, Will Connor Hellebuck, who's the de facto starter, the eventual number one for this team, will he seize that mantle? That would be the question for me for 2017.
And Dave, I want to touch on the Manitoba Moose. You go to every single Manitoba Moose game. You cover this team more than anybody. They lost last night to the Charlotte Checkers in overtime. They currently sit fifth in the Central Division with 29 points. They're 6 points behind the Cleveland Monsters for that last playoff spot in the Western Conference. What are you looking at heading into 2017, the biggest storyline for this Manitoba Moose team?
Well, I guess there's a couple for that as well. Number one is Eric Comrie. Can Eric Comrie take this kind of – it's a very interesting parallel between the Moose and the Jets, because Eric Comrie has to seize that mantle as the number one. Like, this was essentially – he was kind of – thrust the team last year when Hellebuck was called up, when you know, Pavlik was injured, and then he kind of, because he was supposed to be the backup to Connor Hellebuck with the Moose, learning the game. And then eventually what ends up happening is Eric Comrie gets handed the reins, and he's like, okay, well, I'm the number one guy last year. This year, it was kind of expected he was going to be the number one guy, and we'll see going into 2017 whether he can, again, seize that opportunity that's right in front of him. Because to me, Eric Comrie is a really exciting goalie prospect. And there's a lot of guys who know a lot more about goalies than I do, who, when you talk to them, they see Eric Comrie as a very good prospect for an NHL team. So I think Eric Comrie is someone who, in 2017, who I'm really interested in watching. And the other end of the coin will be Kyle Connor and Jack Roslovic's development. Because those are two players who, to me, are very close. I mean, Kyle Connor had a phenomenal 2016. He was unbelievable. But again, Jack Roslovic has taken kind of leaps and bounds or steps, significant steps in his development. Could have potentially been on, you know, the Jets roster in lieu of Kyle Connor. Didn't get that opportunity. Went to the Moose. Didn't sulk about it. Played extremely well. He's their leading scorer right now. The things he can do with the puck and his continued development under, you know, Pascal Vincent's system for the Jets eventually is something I'm really looking forward to watching in 2017.
So Dave, we've got two exciting games coming up tonight. We have the Jets and Islanders at 6 o'clock p.m., and we've got the Columbus Blue Jackets and Minnesota Wild at 5 o'clock Central Time. Both teams are on long winning streaks. The Minnesota Wild have won 12 games in a row, and you've got the Columbus Blue Jackets who have won 14 games in a row. We've got a couple minutes left here. Who wins the game tonight? Who loses for the first time in a long time?
I think I saw someone say that this is the first time in the NHL's history you've had two teams with these types of win streaks doing battle and trying to and have one of them continue it. I think Minnesota, I'm going to give it to the home team. I think that they weren't happy with their play against the Islanders on Thursday. They blew a lead. They had a 4-2 lead. They blew it. They ended up taking it back. Like, it was 4-4. Then it was 5-4. They weren't happy with their performance, and I think they tightened it up. I mean, I think it's going to be a really close game. I mean, this is one of those things. It's just a total coin flip at this point. I mean, I can't tell you. That's why they're going to play tonight. So my prediction is kind of a guess at this point. But I think that I won't be surprised if either team does it. I mean, if Columbus does manage to win tonight, I think that would be their 15th win in a row. Two off of the Pittsburgh Penguins all-time, 17 wins in a row in 92? So fairly significant accomplishment for a team that wasn't given a lot of regard. And even the Minnesota Wild, you know, weren't kind of talked about a lot by anyone in the NHL. And Bruce Boudreau really seems to have gotten those guys working well.
Yeah, it's a tough one to call. They have the two of the hottest goalies in the NHL with Sergei Bobrovsky and Devan Dubnyk, as you mentioned. Columbus is coming off of that 5-3 win over the Winnipeg Jets. I'm going to go with Minnesota as well. Minnesota's only lost 3 games all year at home, but Columbus has only lost two games all year on the road. So I'm going to take the Minnesota Wild. I think this game is going to go to overtime, and I think the Wild win. But certainly that game is going to be a must-watch game. As you said, Dave, you don't have very many games that have two teams with these long winning streaks. So it's going to be a great one tonight. Also, it's going to be a great game tonight between the Winnipeg Jets and the New York Islanders. Hustler and Lawless is going to kick off our game day coverage at 3 o'clock, and then we've got the official Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 5 o'clock. Puck drop is 6 o'clock tonight at MTS Center. Dave, it's been an awesome show.
Thanks, Ez. Always fun.
Yeah, we're going to be back on Thursday night for NHL This Week at 10 o'clock Central. And then we'll be back at our regular 9 o'clock a.m. time for next Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. So we want to thank our guest this morning, Mike McIntyre of the Winnipeg Free Press, Ted Wyman of the Winnipeg Sun, Arthur Staple of Newsday Newspaper in New York, and Mark Masters of TSN. He's covering the World Juniors in Toronto. We also want to thank our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Linden Market Dental Center, and Keener Jerseys. It's our last show of 2016, Dave. Thank you to everybody for listening, and we're excited for what 2017 has to bring.
Hope everyone has a healthy and happy new year.
As you said, Dave, a happy new year to everybody out there. Have a great Saturday. Jets and Islanders tonight at 6 o'clock on TSN 1290.